بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين اللهم أخرجني من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمني بنور الفهم اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا خزائن علومك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. We started talking about lesson 54 in Farsi version, which is about the role of faith, iman, and disbelief or kufr in eternal happiness. And we said that what we need to understand is the role of faith and the righteous deeds in our happiness. Is faith by itself enough? Or, for example, are righteous deeds by themselves enough? Or is disbelief or kufr causing eternal suffering? Does a person who commits sin still have faith or not? As you remember, we said there was a big debate in early history of Islam about murtakibul kabira or murtakibul kaba'ir, those who commit major sins. Are they believers or they are not believers? Khawarij, Kharijites, had the idea that a person who commits a sin is no longer Muslim, is not longer a believer. There were people also on the other extreme called Murja'ah, Murja'ites, who had the idea that if you have faith, bad deeds would not harm. Just to have faith is enough. So this was a big debate, and we said, you know, Mu'tazilites had the idea that the one who commits a major sin is neither believer nor kafir. Manzilatun bainal manzilatan. The fact is that those who commit sins, they don't necessarily lose their iman. Because sometimes maybe a mu'min has some weakness, and because of that weakness may commit a sin. But it might reach a point that he would lose iman. If someone keeps committing sins and would not repent, would not change himself or herself, there is a great chance that he may lose iman totally, altogether. Inshallah, we will talk about this later. So it's not that every sin leads to losing iman or losing happiness in the hereafter, but each sin is a problem, and if these sins become many, then they can really stop people from going to heaven. Now let's see what is the nature of iman, what is the reality of iman, what is the essence of iman. As I explained last week, iman depends on having some kind of knowledge. At least, if it's not certainty, at least there must be dhan. Dhan, which is logically suspicion. This suspicion is different from suspicion that is used in the day-to-day language. It means that at least you think that this is more probable, more likely to be the case. But we believe that what would be acceptable is certainty. So there must be some kind of knowledge or understanding. But we said this is a condition for iman, not iman itself. Because there is a great possibility that someone may have that understanding and still doesn't accept to be submitting himself to the truth. He knows, but he doesn't want to submit. He doesn't want to commit. جحدوا بها واستيقنتها أنفسهم ظلما وعلوا. We said that there are people who know, but still they deny. This is Surah Nahl, verse 14. Out of injustice and arrogance, they don't want to accept. Or Prophet Musa عليه السلام told Fir'aun, لقد علمت ما أنزل هؤلاء إلا رب السماوات والأرض. You know that no one has sent these verses or these signs except the Lord of the skies and the earth. So Pharaoh knew that this was not Musa who was bringing these things by himself. As I told you, he knew Musa very well. He knew that Musa didn't have Yad Bayda, yeah, white hand shining, or for example, that stick and so on and so forth. But still, he didn't want to accept. And if you remember, I also said last week that Iman is something that it's not in your control. Ilm is not in your control. When something happens in front of you, so it comes to your notice, you come to know it. You cannot say, I decided not to know. The only way you can stop knowing something is if you avoid the whole situation that would lead to knowledge. For example, you try not to listen anything, not to see anything. Otherwise, after the evidence is there, after, for example, you smell something, you see something, you hear something, then between the evidence and or the premises and the result, you cannot control. Yeah, you cannot say, okay, I have seen all the evidence, but I don't want to know. It's not possible. But Iman is a voluntary action. Iman is something that you can decide to have or not to have. Therefore, it's different from ilm. We said Iman is knowing as well as wanting, as well as deciding to open yourself for that truth, to humble yourself before that truth, to devote yourself, to commit yourself to that truth. This is also very important. So if someone knows that God exists but doesn't like this fact, says, I wish God didn't exist. This is not Iman. If he knows that God exists and he is open to this, he welcomes this, he commits himself to this, he loves this, then this is Iman. So Iman comes with understanding, but it has to go further and would be coming with a kind of submission or commitment. And indeed, this is Iman, that submission, that taslim is Iman. What is the minimum level of Iman, the bottom line? Or as we say, Hadd al-Nisab. Hadd al-Nisab means the minimum, that if you have less than that, would not be acceptable. The author says, Atullah Misbah says, that the minimum is to believe in God and the hereafter and the prophets. If someone believes in this, then he has a chance of eternal happiness, of going to heaven. And the logical consequence of this, the implication of this, is that such person who has faith in God and the hereafter and the prophets would make the decision of acting upon what he has accepted. So he would commit himself. For example, if he says, I believe in God and the prophet and the hereafter, then if God wants us to say our prayer, so he should be accepting that. If someone says that I believe in God and the prophet, but I have decided not to do anything that they say, I don't want to do as they say. So this is not Iman. Iman automatically brings at least the decision of trying to do things. Maybe, inshallah, we'll say later, maybe a believer is weak. He cannot do everything, or he is not strong enough to do everything 100%. Maybe 10%, 20%, 30% he fails in implementation. But he should not have the decision of not doing at all. His decision is to do, but then he faces some problems and his iman is weak, his determination is not there, so he may not be 100% practicing. But if someone says, I don't want to practice at all, or why should I practice? He doubts, then there is no iman. Iman has at least that التزام, we say, that undertaking, that commitment that you do as much as you can. And then not to be mu'min, not to be kafir. And of course, I said last week, kafir is sometimes used as adamu malake, sometimes as zed. Sometimes you mean by kafir anyone who does not have faith, even if he's in doubt, even if he doesn't know. And sometimes you mean, salaam alaikum, someone who knows and deliberately denies, kufrul juhud. So there are two different senses for kufr in this lesson. Pardon? There are four senses in al-mizan. We said al-mizan makes four senses, but here we have two senses. Because, for example, one is not to be grateful. We are not talking about that sense. Here we had two senses. One was kufr as not having faith, or kufr as having arrogance and rejection in front of the faith or truth. So if someone believes in God and the hereafter and the prophets and has that commitment to act upon it, this is iman. If someone rejects this or has doubt, he has no faith. But the strongest kind of kufr is the one who knows and denies everything. So these are the people who are very insistent and stubborn and arrogant. They know everything and they don't accept anything and they don't do anything. What about shirk? Shirk is also in a sense kufr, but one type of kufr. Shirk is denial of tawheed. So they don't believe in God the One. This is shirk. Nifaq, again, nifaq is a kind of kufr, because nifaq is not to believe, but to pretend that you believe. Actually, this is worse than kufr, which is expressly mentioned. Someone doesn't believe and he says, I don't believe. Someone doesn't believe and he says, I believe. This is worse, because in addition to not believing, it's also deceiving people. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْوَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. They are in the lowest level in hell because they are not honest. So even if a kafir is honestly saying I am kafir, it's better than a kafir who says I am a Muslim, I am a believer. Yeah? Pardon? Yeah, yes, yes. Hypocrite in munafiq. 2 points. Sometimes we use iman or Islam in a fiqhi sense. You have to be careful. You know, those who are not familiar with the Quran, with the fiqh, as soon as they hear kufr or iman, they think it means only one thing. In fiqh, when we talk about who is Muslim, who is kafir for certain rulings, for example, about zabiha, a slaughtering. For example, if it is slaughtered by a Muslim or not. Or, for example, about tahara and najasa. In fiqh, we are not concerned with the iman or kuf, which is inside, because we don't have access to that. So if someone says, I am a Muslim, and he declares shahadatain, we should assume that he's a Muslim. Slaughtering, marrying, all become okay. Okay? Although maybe he is inside kafir, therefore maybe he's a munafiq. But we accept based on zawahir, on shahadatain. Unless he does something that shows that he was not a believer. For example, he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But then he says or does something that shows he doesn't believe in what he says. For example, he says, I don't believe in the Quran. Okay, everyone knows, even non-Muslims know, that Quran is the book of Prophet Muhammad. If you believe in Quran, in Prophet Muhammad, you should believe in the Quran. So if you say, I bear witness that he is the messenger of God, and then you don't believe in the Quran, it means that you are not honest. So you have yourself disqualified your shahadatain. But no one can, from outside, challenge someone's Islam. لا تقولوا لمن ألغى إليكم السلام لست مؤمنا. If someone says, you know, I am Muslim, you should not question. Unfortunately, we have this takfiri movement that whoever disagrees with them, they say you are kafir, which is wrong. And this is like the idea of Khawarij. They had also this idea. So, in fiqh, when we say to be a Muslim or to be a kafir, that's different from what we are talking about here, about the true and real iman and kufr. The second point is, some people maybe have excuse or excuses in not having faith. For example, maybe a person is mentally ill or is mad, or maybe the environment is stopping him to have access to the truth. Okay? So these people are excused if they don't have faith, or if they don't know. They are jahil qasir, means they are excused if they don't know. And depending on how much they are excused or they are unable, they would be exempted from certain responsibilities. But those who have access and they don't want to know, or they are lazy, they don't bother. They say, why I should think about it? Why I should bother whether, you know, God exists or not, or Prophet Muhammad is a prophet or not? These people are held responsible. They are not able to have, because we didn't know, so we are excused. You didn't know, but you didn't want to know. Those who didn't know and couldn't know, they have excuse. But if you could know, then you don't have excuse. Okay? If you want to do mubahasa and there is no one to discuss with him, maybe you have excuse, but even maybe no, because you can at least do with yourself. But if there is someone to do mubahasa, no excuse. Yes? In the end of the lesson, Ayatollah Misbah says, iman, he brings this example, end of lesson 54 and lesson 55. In lesson 55 has an addition. So he says, you can imagine iman as a tree that you plant for your perfection, for your improvement. And the branches of this tree are righteous deeds. The tree of Iman, which is of course rooted in knowledge and desire or submission. Then you have branches, and the fruits of this tree is your happiness, your sa'adah. The next question is, in this lesson, what about people who have no tree of Iman? The tree of Iman is not there. But maybe they have branches, like they have good actions. Yeah? Can they also have the fruits of sa'adah or not? So, Ayatollah Misbah says, this paragraph might be difficult for you. So please pay attention. When you read, maybe it's difficult ones. He says, whenever you do something, this is an attempt to for you towards perfection, towards your development. Every action that you do, you want to gain something to become better. And you move towards your perfection. Our actions are dependent on our intention. You can move ahead as much as you have intention for it. If someone has no faith in God and has no faith in the hereafter and doesn't believe in the heaven and, you know, hell, therefore he does not work in order to have eternal happiness, then his actions are not able to take him there. Okay? You reach maximum, what you can reach is where you aimed to reach. If you didn't aim, then you don't go. Maybe even when you aim, you don't reach. But you don't go beyond what you have aimed. So these people who have no faith, then they shouldn't expect that because of their actions without faith, they would be able to go to heaven. I remember once I had a discussion many years ago with someone who was not a believer in God and wanted to know more about, you know, faith. And although he had no faith, but he was very much concerned about going to heaven. And I said, if someone doesn't believe in God and doesn't believe in heaven, then it's not logical to expect to go to heaven. But I said, if you are a person who is really searching for truth, I can tell you that God loves you, even if you have still no faith, as long as you are looking for truth, you are searching for the truth. But whether this love is enough to put you in heaven, this is something that you should not expect. If it happens, it's another thing, but you should not expect this because you don't believe in this. No one should, you know, expect something be given to him that he himself denies or doesn't believe. But it's important that God appreciates the efforts of people for coming to an understanding. But as long as you are really trying to understand, it's not that, you know, you take this as a permanent station. So we ask him, what are you doing? I am doing research about religion. Next year, what are you doing? I'm doing research about religion. Next year, okay, you shouldn't, you know, get used to just doing research. You have to make up your mind, because there's a great chance that even maybe unconsciously our nafs deceives us. Because in this way, nafs wants to avoid committing herself to some responsibility. Yuridul insan li yafjura amama. But if someone really is struggling to find the truth, I think he is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as long as the search is honest and ongoing, he would not be punished. But if he doesn't bother or he is not honest, that's another issue. Then Ayatollah Misbah brings some Quranic references to show that going to heaven depends on Iman and Amal Saleh. For example, in Surah Nisa, verse 124, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ. Those who do righteous deeds, whether men or women, while they are mu'min, they will enter heaven. Those of you who attended first semester akhlaq, when we talked about the role of iman in moral action, we had this discussion in a very detailed way, that what about the moral significance of, for example, kafir's action? What about moral significance of a mu'min's action without niyyah of qurba? We talked about these things in details. So this ayah says that iman plus amal salih qualify the person to go to heaven. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ. Surah Nisa, verse 124. As you might remember that this ayah, also the ayah مَنْ عَمِلَ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, were some evidence that I said that it seems عَمَلْ الصَّالِحِ by itself does not require iman. Amal Saleh is an action which is good by itself, out of good intention. If you want to qualify for heaven, you need iman. But even if someone doesn't believe, still this is Amal Saleh, but not qualifying him for going to heaven, but still it's appreciated. Still it's appreciated and can have some good implications in dunya or reducing the punishment. On the other hand, the Quran refers to the situation of kuffar and how their actions are destroyed and damaged. For example, Surah Ibrahim, verse 18. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم مثل الذين كفروا بربهم أعمالهم كرماد اشتدت به الريح في يوم عاصف. Those who have denied their Lord, and normally we said this is for the people who deliberately deny, their actions are like a ramad. Ramad means ash, yeah? If you have, for example, ashes, and then a strong wind comes, in a very windy day, a strong wind comes and takes all these ashes, and then you cannot keep anything, you cannot save, hold anything. All are gone. كَرَّمَاد نِشْتَدَّدْ بِهَ الرِّيحِ. Wind comes. في يوم عاصف, in a day which is very windy, or it's, you know, like a stormy day. لا يقدرون مما كسبوا على شيء. They cannot control anything that they have acquired. This is very sad. That first you think that everything is there you have lots of a'mal, but then in few seconds nothing remains. Or in Surah Furqan, verse 23, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. We came to what they had done from actions, and we made it haba'an manthura, like again a wind coming and spreading and taking everywhere what they have done, so that nothing remains. In some verses, Quran talks about those who have no faith in the hereafter, no faith in God. They would see the result in dunya. مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا نُوَفِّ إِلَيْهِمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فِيهَا. If someone only thinks and is after حيات الدنيا, the lowest life, this worldly life, and the beauties of this life, we will give them their a'mal in this world. It means that they would see the result of their a'mal in this dunya. If they have done something good, if they have made some efforts, they will enjoy in dunya. For example, a person has studied hard, okay, or has done great work for, you know, for example, business, trade, whatever. Okay, now he benefits from his knowledge or money in dunya. It's not that totally is wasted, but it cannot be saved for the eternal life because he doesn't believe in the here, eternal life. Yes. Pardon?
Which surah is it?
This is Surah Hud, verses 15 and 16. In Muharram, I think also I'm discuss this verse in lecture, Muharram lectures. مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا نُوَفِّ إِلَيْهِمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فِيهَا وَهُمْ فِيهَا لَا يُبْخَسُونَ. Nothing will be reduced. Whatever they have done, 100%, they will receive it in dunya. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا النَّارِ وَحَبِطَ مَا صَنَعُوا فِيهَا وَبَاطِلٌ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. But in the Akhirah, they don't have anything. So their good actions were returned to them in dunya. And then in Akhirah, they have their only, you know, bad actions and what, you know, causes punishment for them. Lesson 55 is about the relation between faith and action. We said that faith is an internal condition which needs knowledge, ma'rifah, and also desire and love for what you know. Faith implies action, because if you love something, if you commit yourself to something, then you should act upon it. If someone says, I don't want to act according to this, or I have no intention of acting, this shows he doesn't have iman, because he has not committed himself to this. قالت الأعراب آمنا. Bedouins said that we are mu'min. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا ولما يدخل الإيمان في قلوبكم. You just can say we have embraced Islam by declaring shahadatain, but as long as faith has not settled in your heart, you cannot say, I am mu'min. Faith should settle in the heart, changes the heart, so that you want to have a different type of life. You want to act upon it. Of course, we accept that it's possible that a person who has faith is in a low condition of faith so that he may not be practicing perfectly. Okay, so we don't say if someone is mu'min, it means that he's perfect. No, there are different degrees, different ranks of iman. But at least there should be some level of commitment, maybe out of laziness or weakness of determination, the person is not 100% practicing. But at least he does something. If you don't practice anything, it shows that you have made a decision against your faith. So this is not faith. So here, the role of will or determination becomes very obvious. Determination is very important. Sometimes we have talked about this, that it is so important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of 124,000 prophets, has 313 Rasul. Okay? 124,000 Nabi. Only 313 Rasul. Out of 313, only 5 are called Ulul Azm. Azm is determination, the people of determination. So it means that these are the select of the select of the select of humanity. And the reason for selecting them is that they have great determination. When they know something is right, they do it. Unfortunately, we have this problem, that when we know something is right, still we think about it. Shall I do it? Shall I not do it? Maybe I have other things to do. You know, when you know something is right, you must not have any hesitation in doing this. And if you know something is wrong, you should not think about, shall I do it? Shall I not do it? This determination is very important. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says, Alimtu anna afdal zad al-rahil ilayk azmu iradatin yakhtaruka biha. The best provision for a wayfarer is determination that he has or she has in his or her choice. He chooses you or she chooses you, and then does not let any doubt, any hesitation come. Azmu iradat. This is very important. May Allah give us this determination. When you know something is good, do it. Okay? And one example is what? Mubahasa. No excuse for not studying, not doing mubahasa. If you have doubt whether it is good or not, we can discuss it. But if you don't have doubt, then you should not let anything stop you. So maybe people have lack of determination, and despite having iman, they don't practice completely. This is possible. But if someone doesn't practice at all, it means that there is a problem here. There's a hostility. It seems that he has decided to find out what is good, then he doesn't do it. What is bad, and then he does it. Because even those who are not mu'min, at least 30% of their actions maybe comply with iman. Yeah? Because it's not that 100% they oppose what faithful people do. Okay, so after this, Ayatollah Misbah says, every good action that we do, it strengthens iman. So iman brings action, but also good action helps iman. Okay? Like, you know, when you learn, you teach. When you teach, you learn better. And then you can teach better. And then you can learn better. This goes hand in hand. Any good action strengthens imans, brings more light to your heart, makes the next good action easier. You accept? The next good action becomes easier. If you do mubahasa, the next time becomes easier. The problem is that you have never started mubahasa, so it's very difficult for you. Bad action makes iman weaker and makes the next bad action easier. And gradually, you get used to do it and you don't feel bad. And na'uzu billah, maybe you don't think that even it is bad. There is an ayah in the Quran that, again, you are familiar with this ayah, in Surah Fatir, verse 10. إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُهُ. According to a common interpretation, الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ is taken as a reference to aqidah. Good aqidah, good belief, rises towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We had this again in Akhlaq course. The reality of each person, before anything else, is decided by his ma'rifah. Then your character, then your a'mal. So, when you are rising towards Allah, it means that you are rising with your aqidah. Your ma'rifah is rising. And amal salih is giving a lift to you. Wal amal salih yarfa'uh. Like, for example, a person who goes in the lift from ground floor to the 10th floor. Who is ascending? The person. But the lift is helping him. So amal salih yarfa'uh means amal salih is raising him, lift, giving him lift. But in reality, it is you. Because amal salih is somehow external to you. Amal is something external. But your akhlaq and aqidah are internal, are part of you. Is it clear? So more than anything else, people would see the result of their aqidah and akhlaq. Of course, amal you would see, but they become part of your being, part of your reality. If, on the other hand, someone has bad actions, then they take him down and down to the extent that it can become nifaq or kufr. The iman becomes nifaq or kufr. For example, Surah Tawbah, verse 77. فَأَعْقَبَهُمْ نِفَاقًا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ إِلَى يَوْمِ يَلْقَوْنَ بِمَا أَخْلَفُ اللَّهَ مَا وَعَدُوهُ وَبِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ فَأَعْقَبَهُمْ نِفَاقًا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ إِلَى يَوْمِ يَلْقَوْنَهُ بِمَا أَخْلَفُ اللَّهَ مَا وَعَدُوهُ. و به ماکانو یکتبون. Because of them breaking their promise, they didn't keep the promise with God, and they were lying. This caused nifaq to go into their heart. So they were mu'min, but they became munafiq. Or this famous ayah, Surah Rum, verse 10. ثُمَّ كَانَ عَاقِبَةَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُوا السُّوءَ أَنْ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَكَانُوا بِهَا يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. The end, the result for the people who did bad deeds was that finally they rejected the signs of God and they made mockery of the signs of God. Like Yazid, that, you know, recited that poem, كَذِبَتْ هَاشِمُ بِالْمُلْكِ فَلَا خَبَرٌ جَاءَ وَلَا وَحْيٌ نَزَلْ. He recited this poem, which means that Bani Hashim just made a game with power. Otherwise, there was no revelation, and they just wanted to gain power, so they said, you know, God has revealed to one of us. This is what Yazid said. So, if someone keeps committing sins, there is a danger that finally may lead to denying altogether. You know, we human beings are very especially created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not like a machine. We are not like, I don't know, some material objects. We are very much changeable. Very much changeable. If you understand something and you don't want to accept and bring doubts, gradually you doubt. You really doubt. If you don't follow what you know, then you may reach the point that you cannot know anything. You cannot make any decision. You may even find good things, bad things. It's all possible. You know, when, like, for example, you know, some people who suffer from waswas, you know waswas? That they keep doubting about, for example, tahara, najasa, about prayer. You know, they cannot become happy. So, in one book I was reading that in Madrasa-e Faiziyeh, I don't know if you have been to Madrasa-e Faiziyeh, next to the shrine of Lady Ma'asuma, there is a hawza called Faiziyeh, which is very important. So, in the middle of Madrasa, there was a fountain. And the court is big. One talabe who was waswasi was in the first floor, not in the ground floor, in the first floor, much away from the fountain. You know, even those who are in the ground floor, they're away because it's big. But he was in the first floor, much away. And then there were some pipes around the fountain to make wuzu. You could make from a fountain or you could use the pipeline. So when someone was washing his hand, this person in the first floor was becoming 100% sure that he has become najis. This talabe who was waswasi and was in the first floor. You know, sometimes, you know, a person 50 meters away, for example, you know, I don't know, goes to water and water, you know, comes, but this person becomes certain that has reached me. So this is possible because we are not like machine. The way we train ourselves can gradually change our understanding. If you keep questioning your common sense, then your common sense can stop, and then it becomes uncommon sense. Then everyone is sure, you are not sure. Everyone is unsure, you are sure. You know, it is said that one person again had this problem. May Allah save us from this. You know, it's very difficult. So in the past, they used to go to public bath to make ghusl. You know, like pool. They used to go inside the pool for ghusl, ghusl irtimasi. So one of the ulama was marja, also went for bath. So he saw a person is going to the pool and coming out, going and coming. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I want to do ghusl, but my intention doesn't come. Because I have to have intention of qurbatan ila Allah, but my intention doesn't come." So he said, "Who is your marja?" He said, "It's so and so." He said, "It's me." So from now, you don't make intention. He said, "Thank you." Then he said, again, he's going and coming. He said, "What is the problem?" He said, "Now my intention is coming. I cannot stop it." So this is the problem. And it can happen to anyone. If you don't safeguard yourself against these things, gradually you become used to it and you cannot stop it. It's very, very difficult. So, if you know something, accept it. Don't try to play with it, because then gradually you may lose your understanding. Pardon? Yeah. So maybe for some reason I'm not able to do something, or I'm able but I'm lazy. It's better at least I accept that this is the case and I made mistake. Don't try to justify by questioning that, because if you question that, then a time may come that you would not be able even to understand. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ كَانَ عَاقِبَةَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُ السُّوءَ أَنْ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَكَانُوا بِهَا يَسْتَحْزُونَ. They finally reached the point, maybe they didn't want this in the first day, but it reached the point that they denied and they made mockery of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so now, alhamdulillah, we finished lesson 55. And inshallah, then we will have lesson 56, which is just few points related to the issue of iman and kufr. And inshallah, we will discuss this, inshallah, in the next session. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen.